Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The psalm for this evening, Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who is seated on high? Who looks far down on the heavens and on the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. We can hear the word of the Lord this evening from Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, beginning in the third chapter. St. Paul writes this: Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. For as you are all one in Christ Jesus, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of this world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid that I may have labored over you in vain. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the hope and the promise that we have that we are forgiven completely by your grace alone. Help us, Father, always to live in that as your dear children. Bless us now in the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, imagine with me this scenario, and maybe it's not that far off for some of us. Imagine that you have a huge debt. I mean a huge debt, a debt that as you look at it, it takes your breath away debt. You've made some bad decisions. You've invested in things that have turned south. All of that debt is continuing to grow, and as you look at it, you realize that you can't pay this, ever. And then you add on top of that a few years of really terrible health and no insurance, and now your debt is in the hundreds of millions of dollars. And it's yours. No one else, it's all yours. The bill collectors are paying, the pressure is on you to pay it, and then you realize that you have no way out. They come to take everything. Everything you have, you are left with absolutely nothing, and then what's worse is you're still left with two-thirds of the debt, and there's no way to get out of it. Pretty discouraging as we look at that. But then one day you go and get the mail and you open up the letter and or you open up the mail and you look at the letter and suddenly someone writes to you, Dear friend, I have seen your burden, I've seen your struggle, I know your debt, and I paid it. All of it. You're free. No more debt. How would you respond? Well, the first response is, yeah, right. It'd be disbelief. Who would do that? Who would pay such a great debt without expecting anything at all from us? No one I know, not here on earth anyway. And then as you investigate your debt and you start going to your creditors, they say, thank you. Thank you for paying it. You're paid in full. There's nothing here left. And you realize that your entire debt of everything is gone. And you're free. And you don't have to worry about that again. That would be breathtaking. That'd be such an amazing thing to think about that. That's grace. God giving us what we do not deserve. The debt we incur is sin. The wages that we work for bring death. The wages of sin are death. And we have this mounting debt of sin in our lives apart from Christ. But by His grace, He steps into your world and He gives you faith. And that faith connects you to the cross. That faith connects you to Jesus saying, Tetelestai, your debt, all of it, all of your sin, no matter what it was, no matter when it started, until the day that you die, all of that sin has been paid for by Christ and His wounds on the cross for you. You are free, saved by grace. God gives us that gift through the cross, and He connects us to the cross through the baptism, where He gives us faith to believe that this gift is yours. It's a done deal. Your sin is paid for, and you are free, saved by grace alone. And I still just shake my head and think about when I think about grace. How could that be? How could God in heaven, a holy and a righteous God that tolerates no sin whatsoever, look at me and say, forgiven? Because of Jesus. It's overwhelming to think about that. But it's a gift to you. Because of God's great love and mercy and grace upon you, He has given you this as a gift. In the epistle reading today, as St. Paul is writing, he reminds us that God has, at the right time, given all of these things to us. He's taken this through the Old Testament, with the prophets have been preaching about a time when God will bring a Savior into the world, where the law will no longer be your guardian, well, it will not be held over you. The law will be there for you, but it will be fulfilled in Christ. The prophets all pointing ahead to a time when the gift will be yours. John the Baptist steps on the scene, kind of the last Old Testament prophet in the New Testament, and he teaches us, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus is coming. Your salvation is soon at hand. And as John the Baptist prepares us for the events of Christ, St. Paul writes this, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. When we look at Jesus' life into our world, we see Him on the cross giving His life for us, but the only way that would work is if Jesus was sinless His entire life. The sinless Son of God, the perfect sacrifice for us, for our sins, and when the time was right, God became flesh and dwelt among us in the womb of Mary. God lived and taught and ate and drank and slept and cried and rejoiced and taught and pushed back the evil of the world so that we would see Him as Savior. When the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son to pay your debt. One of the things that I've learned over the last number of years, every time we plan an event like something for the youth, the advice I've been given over and over again is, well, you have to charge something, and it has to be something of a substantial value. You can't just plan an event and make it free because nobody will come. They see no value in it if you don't pay. So we put a price on the event so that people see, well, it'll cost me this much, therefore it must have value. That's the way we think in our world. If it doesn't have a cost, then it must not have any value. St. Paul has a question within the epistle reading for today, and that question is this: but now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world whose slaves you want to be once more? St. Paul asks us, do you really want to stay saved by grace, or do you want to run back and be a part of that debt again? Well, our answer is pretty clear right now, isn't it? If you think of that hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt that you have, are you ready to step back into that again? Or do you enjoy being free? It's easy to think, why would anyone do that? Why would they jump back into that? But there are times in all of our lives where we just don't see the grace of God as anything that's valuable. It's just going to church. I'm happy in my life the way it is. Why should I do that? And then as we consider this, the evil one twists the tables on us. And he somehow makes us think that we have to do something to earn the gift. That we have to do something to earn our salvation. You have to make a decision for Christ. This week I had a conversation with a young woman, and she was talking about her life, and this is really that story. She said that when she was young, she gave her life to Christ and then kind of did her own thing for a lot of years. And then hearing the message of Christ again, she got back to church and she decided to rededicate her life to Christ. And she was baptized again. And my thought was, when does this end? If she continues to try to impress Christ or to do the things that Christ wants her to do, thinking that it's all driven by her own feelings, what happens when she has a bad day or bad days or bad months and Christ seems distant? Now, what's the next step? To be baptized again and again? To give her life to Christ again? To try to feel like God is there with her? Most of the time, this story ends up in one of two ways. It ends up in outright despair that I can't do anything, or it ends up in rejection of Christ. When we take the gift of God and we somehow try to coerce it and make it something that we do, it will never end up being grace. It will always end up being law, something you do to impress God. But listen to St. Paul as he writes in Ephesians. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him to be seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Do you hear it? God's grace given to you. No obligation on your part, nothing other than God loving you and saying, here is the debt paid for you because I love you. That's grace. God giving us that, restoring us, and reminding us every day that we are his forgiven children, and there is nothing now except his loving mercy given to us. By grace, you have been saved through faith In Jesus' name, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.